Hello everyone, welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby. This episode was recorded on Friday, April 25th, 2025 with Joe McAdam. Joe McAdam has been on the show 4,000 times. We talk about Ogre from Revenge of the Nerds and other stuff, but mostly about Ogre from Revenge of the Nerds, the least problematic character in the Revenge of the Nerds universe. Possibly the entire 1980s film universe. Ogre from the movie Revenge of the Nerds, played by Joe McAdam. Not a fan of babies. I just don't like touching other people's babies. I barely like touching my own baby. I thought I was going to break the thing.
I love babies. I like to romp. I like to pick them up and do the bop, do the little bounce. I love a baby. And then one of them made me... one horrible baby made me very sick, and now it's over. No more baby touching.
I'm not anti-baby. I'm pro-baby. I'm not one of these people that hate people. No, I love people. People seem cool. I just don't want to be
a real people person.
I don't want to be responsible for injuring anyone else because I'm being goofy.
That you can't injure a baby. That's you can't. They're like little super balls. They just
so you're saying it's a myth.
Fun. Yes, I think that is it is a myth that babies could be injured. they're very durable. The bones are soft. They don't have enough knowledge to like tense up before they hit something, before they drop, you know? Like whenever I don't know. I've been watching a lot of ER. I've been really plowing through ER. This hasn't happened on the show, but maybe it could have. But I've heard stories where it's like, oh, and then there's a brutal car crash, but the baby made it. The baby's fine. The baby's okay.
I'm assuming because there are car seats specifically for babies that have
yes, that's probably a good reason why.
Good extra padding than non-baby car seats.
They do have a special seat, don't they? Yeah.
Jesus Christ. I'm a T-ball coach for the second year, and it's funny that people are like, oh, it's fun. It's like, no, it's not. It's no fun at all. You're just preventing the entire time. You're just like, don't hit another kid with a bat. That's it.
Oh, yeah. No, you're constantly on guard, on the balls of your feet. You're just, yeah. There's, I had my nieces and nephews visit, and they wanted to go to the gym in my building. You know, they're like, oh, mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, sure. What's the, how bad?
Well, how old
be?
Are they? That matters.
It was 3 11-year-olds.
Three, wait, triplets?
Twins and a third.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And they were just like breaking shit instantly. Just, like, grabbing ropes and just yanking as hard as you can and just, like, picking up weights and tossing them and just kicking over everything. I was like, this is – one kid I could handle. Three is insane. A T-ball team, I would – it's over. It's absolutely over.
It's a mixed bag because I also really like seeing other coaches get really mad and be like, you're not going to play. I'm like, do you think the kid cares about playing? He's just going to
no.
go take a bat and hit somebody else 10 feet away. Like, what is wrong with you? These incentives don't work, man. So all I do is like try to make the kids have fun and talk about farts. And
yes.
That gets them out of their head. And then they actually hit dingers. They do way better when you talk about farts than like the proper stance.
You got to meet them where they live, you know. Yeah, yeah, we're talking farts, and we're talking like, everybody, tell me your worst time you ever had diarrhea. You know, give me the stories.
That's a good. I haven't brought that up yet. That'll be today's. I have a game today, and we have a thing where we have to travel like every 3 weeks, which is insane because they're four
travel?
To 7 years old.
What?
Yeah, it's so dumb.
Yeah, it's stupid.
Yeah, it's so. Just, but on the plus side, it tires them out, and that's really what you want as a parent. You don't want to. It's
sure.
Not about their joy. It's about making them tired.
Yeah. It's just that there's, I feel like there's a lot of willing children to play T-ball right at home.
That's the problem. There's so many kids. That's the issue. And also,
you have to travel?
Yeah. We don't, that's the thing, because there's so many kids that we travel now. It's like, this is so dumb. It's so dumb. By the end of the season, there are not going to be enough kids. And I'm like, why are there multiple teams? Let's just have one giant team. We don't keep score.
50 kids on a T-ball team.
Just let it happen.
Yeah.
Every game, just different teams, 25 on 25. Who cares?
And no, you don't organize it.
There's
just
like
show
two,
up.
No.
Just show up with a bat. Who cares?
Some kids do that. But you want the jersey. You want the kids to have the jersey, and that's fun.
Yeah. Did you get to pick, like, the numbers for your kids or what?
No.
Nice, random.
Yeah, that's for the best.
What would they have wanted?
I don't think he cares, which is beautiful. I think the good thing about my kid is he's gotten, I'd say 70%, 80% of his clothes is hand-me-downs. So he had already had a T-ball jersey like 2 years before he could play T-ball. So this is like, he's on his like fifth and sixth T-ball jersey. I think he just likes collecting jerseys because they feel good.
Oh yeah, you're gonna have like a little like yeah, it's gonna have a wall full of sports jerseys and shit. I
Yeah, he
get it.
doesn't. The good thing is he doesn't care at all, and he's more than likely going to be like a sad goth teen.
You're gonna make that happen. You're gonna push the agenda for
One
having a
can
sad
hope.
goth game.
It's gonna be. I know it's gonna be an Alex P. Keaton situation where like he's got two parents that are just like, don't do this one thing, and then he's that thing that's very successful, and we don't have to ever worry about him financially.
Oh yeah, no, he's gonna be a little Wall Street kid.
Yeah, it'll be great. And then the other kid's gonna beat the shit out of him. It's great. The 2-year-old's gonna destroy the 5-year-old.
You're gonna have Gordon Gekko and Ogre from Revenge of the Nerds, I think, is a good child combination.
Ogre is Ogre. Serious question. Is Ogre, of course it's a serious question, it's about Ogre. Is Ogre the most stand-up person in all of 80s teen comedies? Serious question.
It's possible. The most like
Least problematic in 2025 version of least problematic.
and bound by a code of morality
Yeah, and partying.
and parties.
I mean, he's cool.
Ogre's cool. I think like a jock that is nerd accepting
Yeah.
but not nerd tendency leaning.
Yeah. It's the best of both worlds.
Yeah, no, I think Ogre. I mean, I'm trying to really rack my brain for it's got to be 80s
80s,
character.
targeted towards teens. So, like, I mean, Porky's is probably 70. Let's open with Porky's and end with, like, yeah, let's just go 80s because if we open it to the 90s, it's too big.
I mean, this is I don't think morally or ethically or whatever lines up correctly with what you're looking for, but I've always been partial to Curtis Armstrong's character in Better Off Dead, kind of a little bit of a junkie party boy, but never like problematic, just in it for his own enjoyment.
But Ogre's not. Ogre goes out of his way to help
Exactly,
others.
that's what I'm saying. Is that
Yeah.
Ogre is far more active in his participation.
Yeah, Ogre's the man.
Yeah, hey, this is now an ogre centric podcast.
For the listener at home, Joe, are you dressed like Ogre on accident or on purpose?
I'm wearing my March of the Juggalos shirt that we went to the March of the Juggalos together
Yeah, but you
in
also cut off the
2017.
sleeves.
I did cut off the
And your
sleeves.
facial hair is nuts.
Well, I'm just letting it ride. I've been sick for a few days, and I haven't.
This is only a few days.
This is the You're the first person I've talked to in like 3 days.
So 3-day Joe McAdam is essentially Ogre.
I do look more like Ogre than I anticipated.
You look great, I'd say.
It's a little ogre. It's a little first act of Castaway, Tom Hanks. It's not too deep in. It's not the full beard and he's like skinny, but it is.
Could you do a full beard?
I mean, like long.
Both, like,
I've never tried.
not just long, but like your cheeks. Because I have that thing where it's like a little patchy on my cheeks, but enough where it's not sad. I don't
It
look like a
gets up to
teen.
like you can see. It's like.
I could see, yeah.
It fades as it goes up, but it's
Which I
still
think, but that
there.
looks kind of natural.
Yeah.
Like, are you going for that fade, or is that what it does naturally?
That's just what it does. I am a believer that if you're grooming the beard and trimming the beard, you're doing too much work. I'm just going to let it
I
run.
thought that for a long time until I did it for once, and I was like, oh, this is actually better.
Yeah, I'm not there yet. I've not gotten there. I
Well,
do like,
do you still use a razor, or do you only have a buzzer, I guess? What's it
I use
called?
the little clipper. I do
Clip
the,
is
yeah.
clippers?
Yeah,
Clipper
whatever those
sounds
are.
wrong.
It is wrong. I do that mostly. I sometimes I'll do like an actual, a razor
Yeah.
blade. And I don't do it that often. I think as I'm aging, I'm just like, you know what? Beard guy. That's just what it is.
Yeah, I think that's the way to go.
Yeah.
There was a few weeks where I was like, goddamn, JD Vance is ruining it. And I was like, ah, he doesn't care. No one cares.
No, the thing is that there are, let's say, 100 versions of being a guy. And there are famously 4 billion guys.
Famously.
So There's only so many things you can do. There's going to be a lot of overlap with a lot of other guys. I used to get like, you're like, oh, that guy's doing the thing. I can't do the thing
Yeah.
anymore. But it's like, it's fine. Nobody cares.
Well, there are two things that I intentionally did not do only because I live where I live. And you're wearing the Juggalo shirt and it's 2017 on that. Once the election happened and all that was like fun hate crimes with the white people for doing all of them. I was like, well, I don't want to look anything like them. I'm going to go the biggest possible facial hair. And I talked to this guy on the show that was formerly like a head of a right-wing group. And he's like, yeah, that's actually a good way to stand out. They know you're not on their side if you're not clean cut because you look like you're Arab.
Oh, that's they have like an easy spot check. Like, all right, big beard.
Not on our side. And I was like,
Yeah.
great, I'll do that. So I did that for about a year and a half until it got too itchy.
Right.
And then the other one is I think Fred Perry's are the only good looking polo shirts or like that type of collared shirt for people that aren't jocks.
I don't. Yeah, I guess so. I don't
So,
really.
and
I'm
I've
not.
never worn one because like once I aged into like, oh, I actually like that shirt, fucking white supremacists ruining it for me.
They
These
really, I mean,
guys ruin everything.
they're really little stinkers. If I can be harsh to them, they're little stinkers, and I don't like it. I don't like them one bit. It's so I yeah, trying to find a look that is never going to be mistaken for a Proud Boy white supremacist. It's a daily challenge. Things progress quickly. New trends come in and out all the time. You got to find something, you know. And I think personally, I'm going with just like the natural bald guy look, and I take a lot of pride in being in like not shaving the head or doing
You're an
the
NBG, you're a natural bald guy.
yeah. I'm not doing tinctures. I'm not doing grafts. I'm not doing any of that shit.
Good for you, man.
No pills. No nothing. It's. I think it's an act of rebellion to be have a horseshoe bald head to look like you know, Joe Pantoliano and Midnight Run. That's kind of the look that I want. We'll see how it goes.
Is it at all surprising to you that, like James Gandolfini is essentially a sex symbol now, well
Is that
past his death.
surprising to me?
Yeah, is that surprising to you?
No, he's a confident man. He's a
Because he's
he's
kind of
a
got the same NBG vibes, right?
Oh, I in fact, I sometimes like fresh out of the shower, I'll do the slick back, you know, so it does look like Tony Soprano. And then that is the least favorite look for my wife. Not into it, not feeling it.
Is that because you're not confident, or you need to gain like 100 pounds?
Well, I'm short. It's
Oh,
a
that's it.
little it's fine if it's like a 6.5 foot tall guy, because you can't see it. You're looking up and you don't even know what you're looking at. But I even do like a lot of like heavy breathing in the nose where you can like hear the whistling in the nose, and it's not a turn on. It's not the sexy look and vibe that I want it to be, but I still do it every time. Every time I take a shower once a week,
Your once a week shower.
you gotta see it.
Where are you right now?
I'm in my home, LA, baby.
What is behind you?
It is a picture of the Notre Dame Cathedral.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's been racking my brain. I was like, is that Central Park? Is that the lakefront? So thank you. Why do you have a picture of, did you take that photo? It looks like it's from the 50s.
Yeah, it is. I think it is.
Cool.
It was found in my wife's parents' basement. It's on a big, heavy piece of wood. It's like that thick.
That's awesome.
I don't know where it came from. I don't know why they had it. And it's on the wall, and it's usually over me in a place that frequently has earthquakes. This would like give me such a lump on my head if it fell on me. It's so heavy.
Why have you been to Notre Dame?
No, I leave the country. What do you think who do you think
Fine.
I
Have you
am?
been to Notre Dame and seen Touchdown DG D Touchdown Jesus? That's really hard to
Touchdown,
say.
Dijon.
Jesus Christ.
I've not even been there. I've not seen that. I've not even nothing. I've
Somebody at
no.
work was like, oh, it was in a movie. What was that movie? It was a real story. And I just every time that happens, I always want to say, Rudy?
Is it? Was it
Is it
Rudy?
Rudy?
It was Rudy, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't.
Wait, it wasn't Rudy, the real story
No,
about.
it was the real story of Notre Dame in
Yes.
France.
Oh, the Hunchback. Yeah.
He burned it down so he could get one play in a meaningless game.
I hope it was worth it, you
It was.
son of a bitch. I went to a really football forward high school, and one of my it was in the I don't know. Everyone's like they love Rudy, like his high school football kids. They think Rudy's like
It's a bad story.
it's not a great story.
You shouldn't do any of that.
But
Waste of
I
time. It's a
remember,
waste of everyone's time. If you actually like the team, you shouldn't do that.
Have you heard Joe Montana talk about the Rudy story?
Please go ahead.
Because he's been interviewed about it because that was like his team. That
Yeah.
was when he was there, and he's like nobody gave their jerseys back. Joe Montana was like the most like casually like devastating. Like nobody did that shit. What are you kidding? That did not happen.
Is he the best SNL single sketch performer of all time?
I love
Athlete,
yes.
athlete of the Joe Montana. I'm going to go masturbate in the room now. Yeah.
That's
Okay.
his. He's. I love Joe Montana. I think he is. If we're measuring like goat status by who has the best life, it's easily Joe Montana. He
Skechers
easily.
ads.
He does. He like okay. All the stories about him in the 80s, the Super Bowls and shit, where he's like breaking everybody up. He's like, check out John Candy's out there. Like, have you heard that story?
No.
People like in the huddle are like so nervous. It's their first Super Bowl. He's like, check out John Candy's like right over there. He is the reason. Okay, so he also there's also like a really cute video about him calling his wife on the sideline just to say I love you. He's like, I wonder if these phones go out. Like they're not just like internal. And he just like calls his wife on the sideline. He's like, hey, what's up, baby?
That's awesome.
He's the sweetest, coolest, regular, chill guy. So when he came to the Chiefs, the first home game, when he got there, he got Huey Lewis to come sing the national anthem because they're like tight. They're like best buddies. And Huey Lewis, so he sings the national anthem instead of singing in the home of the Braves, sings the home of the Chiefs. And that became like what happens at literally every single game, road and home game forever with the Chiefs since that.
Hell
Huey
yeah.
Lewis dictated that, and that's all Joe Montana. That's he. His imprint on the game is far and wide. It's more important than Tom Brady, more important than Patrick Mahomes. Joe Montana's the man.
Here's how I always know I'm always on the wrong side of history. As a kid, I was like, I want to be like Nirvana, not Guns N' Roses, not the fun band whose members are still alive. I was the kid that was like, I prefer Joe Montana's football to Madden.
I did too. Joe Montana Sports Talk? Hell yeah.
I'm an idiot. Why did I? Why?
Well, here's the thing is that Joe Montana is so cool. I don't give a shit if I still have a game. That was fun for a minute.
There
Cool, a
was a
game.
cheap play where if you do this like long route, it's essentially you're essentially just sending guys up down the sidelines, and you just hit AA really fast. It connects every time. It's a touchdown every single time.
Yeah, that it is a problem if that gets out.
So then you're just like, well, I guess I'm going to win every single time with one play over and over and over again.
Yeah, that kind of is a game breaker right there.
Yeah.
But
What
Joe
a great
Montana,
guy.
number one guy, if he's the goat in my eyes.
Speaking of the GOAT, it seems like there's like a Conan renaissance right now where dude can seemingly do no wrong and his Oscars were amazing and he was asked to host with like a within a week of his performance. He got the Twain Award. His HBO show was really well received last year. I can't think of another talk show host where it went from you're canceled or your show's not on the air to like instantly this beloved dad figure.
It's
Where
no, no, nobody else is like that.
there's like 15 years of TV that he did that people were just like, I didn't really watch the TBS show. Like they didn't
Yeah.
know. Like that's never referenced in any of this stuff, even though Conan Beyond Borders is like essentially an extension of that.
It was not w watched. Like, here's the thing is that as a decision, when you're in that exact spot that he was in, it was a gamble to be like, you know what, cable, let's try it. And it was I think, a losing gamble. I don't think that made sense in retrospect or worked out. But like, he's still Conan. What are you gonna, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
Like,
yeah, yeah.
there's an inevitability of him just being like, well, I'll be around. I don't need the show. It's not about the show. It's about him, you know?
Yeah, I guess. It just seems very weird to me. The only other person I think that's even remotely like this is Tom Green, but like Tom Green's on this scale by like 5% of what Conan is.
Yeah, could you imagine Tom Green hosting an award show? Like, I can't even, what level of,
It'd probably be pleasant. Like, that's the thing. It's like
he
Tom Green.
would never be asked in a million years.
I'm sure he's hosted like the Webbies or something.
Sure, yeah, that makes sense.
No, the Tom Green never stopped doing his show ever. It's just that it was on the internet before YouTube, and like the Amazon doc, the recent one, isn't great, but it does shine a light of like, oh, this guy's never stopped working, and he followed the Carson blueprint, but no one wanted the Carson blueprint in like 2003, and Jackass essentially took that one spot. I think that's interesting, and I do think, and maybe it's just because like I went from doing this on a daily basis to like ran like very rarely, but I still think about it all the time, and I can't imagine Conan not thinking in bits all the time and not thinking of it in a talk show brain all the time.
No, he definitely seems like he's designed to only do this one thing. That's.
That says something.
Well, the thing is, it's like no, it's weird. Talk shows now are, I think we when Conan left the Tonight Show, and there was kind of like a general turnover of talent at the host chair for all those shows. I think a lot of the people that got the job didn't give a shit. I think, you know what I mean? Like, I think maybe Fallon is just like kind of a psycho enough to need this. And then otherwise, it's, I think, like, did Corden want to do it? Like, yeah, a little bit, but did he want attention? Yeah, that's more of that. Like, to have a regular job. And clearly, he didn't last as long as a lot of hosts do. Or, like, Trevor Noah, I don't think he gave a shit. You know
Yeah,
what I
because
mean? Like,
culturally, these are two guys not from the States.
yeah, I don't think it means the same thing to a non-American person. And it didn't, and they left relatively quickly, and I and not by like you're fired. It was more of like a I don't know if I this is for me.
The Corden thing is interesting because the guy that he replaced was my favorite and remains my favorite talk show host. And I know I'm in the minority on this, but like Ferguson brought a sense of whimsy and frivolity with also a huge sense of seriousness and never made fun, never punched down, right? And was very, very open about being like, oh yeah, I was a huge alcoholic, drug addict, blah, 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 blah. Like he had super high religious, super high, religious figures that are like he had Archbishop Desmond Tutu on the show, and that remained my favorite talk show single episode until this week, and it was great. And that's the kind of show I wanted to do. It's not complicated; it's very, very simple. But Mulaney's new episode is just like, God damn it, he perfected it. It's one specific episode that it's start to finish, damn, it's perfect, and it makes me angry. That shouldn't make me angry. It's just I know how difficult to do that job is, and to execute it in a way where it's like I feel like it was made for just you and me.
I still haven't seen it. I gotta watch the new Mulaney episode. I've watched a couple of them with the new show, and it's great. I think I'm so happy. It seems like there is a balance of that show where it's like, yeah, it's not nightly, so it's not throwaway, and but it is someone committed that cares about the craft of it and the work of doing a talk show, and it's open enough to be like it feels like British panel show a little bit, and
It's like a Graham Norton style.
It has like it feels like a good combination of all of the things that you want it to be. And I was just actually talking to somebody, a friend, about this the other day, but the who was also a big Ferguson fan, who was like, this is the best show since Ferguson. And I think that's it's not without like too open people talking about being addicts. That's part of it, the openness, the lack of like walls between audience and performer kind of thing.
It is interesting. Like, I can't believe that anyone else has ever made this conversation, let alone someone that talked to you and that I've been. So that's
The
great.
only people I talk to are people that are obsessed about late night talk shows.
Oh God, Ferguson, I still love so much, and I wish his stand-up was as good as his talk show because it's not. It's fine,
What
but
can
it's
you
not
do though, you know?
exact. It's still good. It's just not like, oh, it's not transcendent. Why can't you be transcendent in everything
Yeah,
you
bud,
do?
come on, man.
But even
Get your
Mulaney,
shit
it's like
together.
in this week's monologue, he's like, you read my Wikipedia page and I had a privileged background. You didn't think it'd be this odd, but it is. Like, he's acknowledging it. It's great. It's so fucking good. And then it was a Christmas episode in April.
Fun.
It had Conan as the guest. It had
Oh, that's great.
a lot of swearing. That's why the Conan thing was on my mind, because it's just like everyone's giving Conan his flowers, which they should, obviously. And Conan's always been very open of like, why am I here? Like, I'm just some idiot Harvard guy. But it's like, you went to Harvard and your mom is a lawyer and your dad's a doctor, so shut the fuck up, you know? But
I
that's
mean,
why I
I
like Ferguson
understand
so
that.
much more. It's like, no, this guy actually came from nothing and was a drummer in punk bands in Scotland in like the late 70s, early 80s. There's a big, big difference in that.
No, the Conan thing is just like I don't know why he's there, just because like it never before or since has happened that they're like, hey, a funny writer, you get on TV. Like, why did it happen? I'm still fuzzy about why that happened. Like, okay.
Sure.
Does that mean that could just happen again? Is it could people just be plucked from obscurity being like Simpsons writers and
I mean, I think there's something to say that, like, you were part of a late night style talk show, and so was I for a long time. You were, what is it, 20? I did mine in 2000, started mine in 2009. I think you guys were also 2009, right?
roughly the same. We were doing it in the same era in Chicago. Yeah.
Yeah, but I unfortunately kept going, and you were smart and got out, both
Well,
literally and figuratively.
kind of forced out because everybody that did the show moved to LA, and there's zero need for a low rent, no budget talk show in Los Angeles. No one wanted to go to that.
Yeah, and I had a thing where I was actually doing very well in Chicago and DC for a while, for a few years. And then once I had a kid, I was like, oh, I don't really care that much.
Yeah, there's more important things in life.
But now I kind of regret giving up the weekly and then monthly show, not because it was like I didn't enjoy doing it. It's just like I don't miss ever having to invite people to things.
Yeah, that's not fun.
I absolutely miss talking to new people and having a reason to do it and doing research about why we're talking. Does that make sense? And then occasionally I do miss the monologues. I miss the monologues a lot, but I feel like I scratch that itch in writing and talking to people like you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, there's a certain like, I don't know what I guess it, like, what do you get out of the monologue? Is it the reaction? Is it the craft of like writing, or is it the like, I've got a little surprise I'm going to deliver to you guys? Like, what's the part of it that you love
All
about the
of it, all of
monologues?
it, all of it.
Yeah.
I loved going up with a fully formed, like, I have 10 pages of notes and I'm just going to go for as long as I want. And sometimes it's 5 minutes and sometimes it's 20. And sometimes I'm staying on tables and sometimes I'm sitting down. Like, I don't know
Yeah.
what's going to happen. I love that. I also love going up with like literally one line and just doing essentially crowd work but making it all about me so no one feels bad. You know what I mean?
Hey, you're not doing a where'd you get your shirt shirt store? Yeah.
Yeah,
You're not doing that shit.
no, but I am asking people honest questions, but only so I look bad, and I'm always the
Yes.
fool. That's the whole point.
Yeah, I think that's a style or type of comedy that went out of style in such a way where if you like I've noticed where sometimes if you try to do that, people are like, does this guy even fucking know how stupid he looks? You know what I mean? Like there became this like era of like extreme confidence for no fucking reason and like this lack of shame kind of comedy, and that became what was accepted and normalized. And then it's like if you do a joke where it's like about like, oh yeah, no, I'm bald or I'm a fat guy or something, it people would be like, oh God, this guy is making me uncomfortable. Like,
And I, one of my favorite things you ever did that I think about all the time is when you did the 24-hour, is it 24-hour or 12-hour, the Kissathon?
oh yeah, it was supposed to be 24 and then I got deathly ill the day of, so we'd cut it to 12.
It's a theme.
Yeah.
And like that's the kind of shit that's like, oh, this is for me.
Yeah, it's a fun, like, I don't know, I wouldn't, it's the kind of thing where it's like, I don't know why dressing up like Kiss is the big commitment to it. And it's like, sometimes you just have to give yourself a real big commitment to do, and then that'll carry you through a big chunk of the time. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, I'll wear a tuxedo and paint my face like Gene Simmons, and then the rest will figure itself out for 12 straight hours. Sure.
Yeah, and like I would also do marathon shows once a year, and those were some of my favorite days.
Yeah, no, it's a little holiday. So maybe that's the, instead of a weekly, monthly, whatever show, I'm working myself into just being like, you know what, one show a year, you come to that one, that'll be fun. That'll be the one we do.
I thought about that. I thought about quarterly.
Yeah. The seasonal, the
Yeah.
solstice shows, maybe.
What if I did four quarterly, what if I did quarterly shows, but they were all Halloween themed?
Every single one Halloween.
Yeah, but I only do them in like, but never on October.
No, why would you? That's
Yeah.
stupid.
Yeah. So like September 1st, December 1st, February 1st, June 1st.
And then you know what? That's the one good holiday. So just go for it.
Yeah.
It's got everything you need.
Like those are the things I miss. But like, who? I'm also of a certain age where I'm like, I wouldn't want to go to that.
It's not. Here's the thing, and that I think a lot of people forget is that comedy is not for people of our age. It's for teenagers and 20-year-olds.
I don't like them either.
Well, that's the you have to reach out. You need to do some outreach with the
That's the
young
thing.
people.
I do legitimately enjoy seeing young comics.
Yeah.
I just don't like their friends.
I
So that's why I have the young comic on the show and talk to just the young comic because they're trying.
mean, like if you think about like all your favorite comedy stuff, it's every time I go back, I'm like it's usually from that age, and it's usually dumber than I than what I would enjoy now. That's
Yeah, we're different. It's not that for me.
I don't mind dumbing myself down to reach a teenager.
Sure. No, the stuff I tend to gravitate towards is I still find hilarious, and it was made by like 35-year-olds or 30-year-olds.
The sweet spot.
Yeah. But like my favorite performers are my age right now.
Like who?
Tim Robinson's probably my age.
Yeah.
So that universe.
Yeah. I don't know if that's like a style thing, if it's like younger, I don't know, or
It's
like an
adult men that are
exposure.
screaming like they're toddlers. That's the style. That's what, and I relate to that. I like that.
It needs to be a person who's at least like around 40.
No,
Otherwise,
not at
the joke
all. Not
doesn't
at
hit.
all. I was
Like,
actually going to say, but there's
it's
also
not.
people I still really like George Wallace, who's like 72.
Yeah, no, he's the funniest living human, probably. Like, he's certainly in the running.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, but I'm saying it's like if you take the style of comedy that Tim does and you put it in a 23-year-old, is that just annoying?
Good question. Probably. Yeah, that's a
I
good
don't
point.
know. I'm not sure. That's what I'm saying. It's like, do you need to be a certain age to
Yeah,
have that be
it's not
acceptable?
as funny. It's just like, oh, you need the distance of that's what it's the thing with Step Brothers. If Step Brothers was if Will Ferrell was 22 in that movie, it's just like, eh.
It's not the same. It's
No.
you can't be that
Yeah.
young and do that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's entirely reasonable. Someone needs to look like they've lived a little bit and look like they shouldn't be young enough to be doing these things.
Yeah, which is us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I should become more loud and immature as I age to really connect with the teens.
That's what we got to do. I've never looked at TikTok.
I barely do. I get a link every couple weeks. Someone sends me a link and I look at it and it usually loads the wrong video. My friend watches like a Shih Tzu account where it's like dogs that are they put sunglasses on them to make them look like Macho Man,
Well, that's
and
fun.
then they dub in Macho Man promos and put like a microphone up to a Shih Tzu's face.
That's fun.
And but like every time I get one of these links, it never goes to the thing. It goes to the next video, and I never know what the fuck I'm receiving. The last one I got was like an AI
That's not
person,
fun.
and she just goes like, I've spent 11 years as a pussy doctor, and my recommendations for, and then it would like pussy doctor? What is going on? It's like this AI was like made by a teenage boy. And it was like eat pineapple to make your cum smell good, or like that kind of stuff. I was like, this is crazy. This is the internet is going to kill everyone, and it's gonna
Yeah.
in the dumbest way possible. It's gonna be
Yeah.
such a it's gonna be bad.
So what we're this really boils down to, we need more ogres and less everything else.
Well, I think we need an ogre in tech. We need a tech ogre, a Silicon Valley ogre to like bully the nerds, but then like kind of guide them.
Ba-bum-ba-bum, you didn't even pack your packs yet. You, me, them, everybody is made by me, Brandon Weatherby. We've been doing this show since 2008 when George W. Bush was in office, which means it's been going on for a very, very long time. Our most recent year of episodes is always available on iTunes. The rest of it is available at youmethemeverybody.com. We have a Patreon. Go to youmethemeverybody.com or this podcast description to donate. Our art is by Jill Ron. Our theme music is by Daniel Knox. Thanks for listening. Have a great night.
I'll hunt the places that you've been sleeping, friends and family I'll be keeping.